Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Before I get into the gist of today's information, just as a Floridian, as somebody that grew up in West Central Florida, you know, I was sad to see the news that Hulk Hogan passed away today. He was a major icon for anybody in Gen X. I can tell you, growing up then in the 80s and particularly the early 90s, he was really big. And he actually, really was a star first before even he was Hulkamania, but when he was Thunder Lips in Rocky III. And that was like a huge, huge deal. I mean, obviously that was a great movie franchise with Sylvester Stallone.
I love that he's explaining to people what Rocky III was. You know, that was a great movie franchise. That one with Sylvester Stallone. You remember, John, you know what year Rocky III came out?
No, sir. I didn't know there was going to be a quiz today.
1982.
Wow. Rocky III.
Rocky III was 43 years ago. Oh, my goodness.
Ultimate male versus the ultimate meatball.
And it's funny because I kind of halfway fact-checked him. I'm like, was that before he kind of rose to fame? And it was. It was like 2 or 3 years, you know, before mm-hmm. he really became. And I'm like, I was not the wrestling kid growing up, so I wasn't the one who would know, you know. But I was like, is that really? No, that's correct. So, yeah.
It was Thunder Lips, and then a couple years later, became the World Wrestling Federation heavyweight champion. And, you know, as a young kid, like, you know, I'm growing up and it's like, you know, that was like somebody's like, wow, that's our superhero kind of deal. And the fact that he was from a Tampa Bay area when I'm growing up there, I was like, oh my gosh, like this guy lives in our area. And, you know, back then when they would do these big events like WrestleMania, you could go to it, which obviously I wasn't in a position to be able to go to. But they didn't have even pay-per-view where you would pay for it to come on the cable. They had closed circuit. So you could go to like a venue and they would play it on like a really big screen. And so like the first few WrestleManias, I think, were like that.
Again, I love that he's explaining it, which I'm sure to a lot of the reporters in the room, it kind of needs to. Also, am I the only one who thinks it's weird? Okay, by definition, I do think that Ron DeSantis is Generation X, but he's like right at the very end. The Gen X usually goes through 1980, and I think he's 1978. And it's weird because, I mean, I don't want to say he's, you know, a millennial, but I think of him as more like a millennial.
You do?
I do, yeah. I don't.
I really thought of more of a Gen X.
He's our people?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's definitely
so
our people.
He's okay. All right. I'll allow it. It's just that, you know, when I heard it, I thought, I'm not sure he's old enough to be our people, you know. But, you know, did he grow up screaming Wolverines? I don't think he did. You know, I think he was too young. I think his mom didn't let him go to see that movie. So, anyway, this continues the tribute to Hulk Hogan.
I remember WrestleMania 3. He was up. Hey, stop.
Is that your legacy?
Get out of here.
You bow down to
get out of here.
Pedophile.
Get out of here. Get out of here. Get out of here. Get out of here. So you used to have the closed circuit. So you would go and you would have that and then you'd just kind of watch it.
First of all, kudos for just like continuing your speech. No big deal. We got some jackwagon over here. He's throwing F-bombs and calling people Nazis and pedophiles. And you're a pedophile. You're a Nazi. No, you're a Nazi. You were a pedophile first. Your mom is a Nazi. You know, like, I mean, I don't think he's persuading anybody exactly. I will say this, in retrospect, missed opportunity. To get out, like, a folding chair and hit the guy over the back for DeSantis to rip off his shirt and go, I mean, like, if this had, I mean, it wasn't staged, was the problem. It was this guy is an imbecile and, you know, decided that, you know, he was going to intrude on the event. But if they had planned it as a tribute.
Oh, that would have been great.
Right? Where they could have, he could have, you know, knee dropped him or something. I mean, that would have been awesome. It would have been fantastic. Instead, more it was just fantastic. Like, I mean, good job, you know, good job. You kept your train of thought. You didn't get distracted by nitwit, you know, Mr. F-bomb Obama. I'm kind of trying to work something in there.
I'm looking at you going,
there's something there. There's a joke there somewhere. I don't quite have it yet, but there's something.
There's something there, bro.
Anyway, he finished up.
I just remember, like, WrestleMania 2, he's fighting Andre the Giant. And look, I was a kid. I didn't know that it was choreographed, right? I mean, I was, like, really worried that he was going to be able to do, but he slammed Andre the Giant. That was, like, a huge thing for, like, kids in that era. And so, you know, and we were with him just a couple of months ago. My kids got to meet him and everything. So I was really sad to see that. And our thoughts and prayers go out to his family and people throughout this region of Florida, because I know so many people cared about him.
You know, fun fact about Andre the Giant, he actually prefers to be called Andrew.
But where did that come from?
Where? It's not true.
Hi, Andrew.
He's very fast. I'm thinking of him in Princess Bride. So, yeah, that was it. And then the governor went on to do other things in the end. But I'm totally fixated on if his comms people had been really smart, really crafty, they would have, you know, they would have staged a wrestle event.
Oh, that would have been great.
Yeah, that would have.
I don't know about him tearing off his shirt and stuff unless he had, like, something underneath it, because I really don't want that mess.
Well, if he had some kind of, like, if he had, well, I mean,
like
he's
a Hulk
a pretty
Hogan
fit guy.
Shirt.
He's a, well, you know, yeah, he but was a team's guy, even though he was the lawyer for the team's guys. But, you know, I mean, he could have one of those, like, artificial ripped shirts.
There you go.
The, like, the slightly inflated ones, that, you know. The more over the top, the better. The more over the top, the funnier it would have been. But then again, you know, even if they had come up with it, he probably would have gotten talked out of it by somebody like, no, that's not prudent. You're going to try to run for president again. You can't do that. So, okay. Anyway. So, yeah, big news yesterday, of course. Horrible news is that 71, Hulk Hogan passed away. And so that makes three this week. You know, they always.
Wow.
Do you believe in the threes thing?
No.
I don't either. Chuck Mangione also passed away. So that's four.
And, it's been a crazy week, trust me.
And
past couple of weeks have been crazy.
I always wonder, for the people who believe in that kind of thing, if, you know, you, like, do you think that Malcolm Jamal Warner wasn't really in the group because it was a death by drowning, not a death by natural causes? Plus, he's 20 years younger. Is Chuck Mangione the third? I always kind of wondered. Or do people, they kind of have it in their head that celebrities always die in threes. And they got to three with Hulk Hogan, and then later the news about Chuck Mangione, and then they're like, yeah, well, he doesn't really count, you know. It was still three. You know, I always wonder how superstitious people think, because I don't think that way, and so I always kind of wonder. Or are they like, oh, my God, it's a second three coming. There's two more people that are going to, you know, David's in the newsroom. David, you look enthusiastic about
that
answer.
David. The start of the second trifecta.
The second triune. Okay. All right. Yeah. Fair enough. I had a friend who texted me yesterday, and it was, you know, just like, oh my God, it's all of our people are dying. And I'm like, bro, we're at the age where all the people that we grew up admiring are of an age where it's going to be the celebrity apocalypse. It's going to be, you know, this week who died this day. I mean, they're all in their at least 60s, mostly 70s and 80s. And so all of your stars, all of your musicians.
It's a weird feeling when your childhood starts dying off one piece at a time.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny, because when you experience a thing like, you know, when you're a parent and you have little kids, and then you think, oh, this is what my parents dealt with. And then when you have teenagers, like, oh, geez, Lord, this is what my parents dealt with.
Yeah.
And then as you get older and now you start to, you know, you think, well, look, the greatest generation, the boomers, had this to deal with. But I don't know if they were... I'm just not sure if they were as attached to their celebrities because of movies and TV and music the way we were. Maybe they were. Maybe when, you know, I don't know, like Elvis dying, you know, I think of that vintage of people or something, or when, you know, Marlena Dietrich started, you know, that kind of age of actresses and actors. So anyway, that was the news yesterday. And of course, we'll be giving some tributes to Hulk Hogan throughout the day. 5:18. Now, David, do you want to tell your story yet? Or do you want to wait for later?
Let's wait for later. Let's tease it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, fair enough. Well, because David has a side hustle, or at least you used to. Do you still?
Oh, no, not anymore. I'm old now.
What is he talking about? Well, I have to listen to the show to find out. We'll tell
exactly.
you later.
Exactly.
518 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. And if you have pests that you're dealing with and you're seeing a lot of ants or you're seeing a lot of mosquitoes or you're seeing a lot of termites or, you know, cockroaches or, sorry, palmetto bugs. We don't have cockroaches in Florida. Whatever the problem that you're seeing is, if you have it, you can call NSEC and they'll take care of it. And look, you know, estimates are always free. There's no obligation to have them come out and look. You know how a lot of things nowadays have kind of gone to the, you got to pay money just to have them look at it, like your car. You remember when you used to get an inspection for free for your car? Remember when that? Anyway, but still true for, you know, NSEC. If they come out and look at what you got, it's no cost. And then if you decide to do it, of course, then there is a cost. But, of course, you get $50 off right now, a new annual pest control customer. Some restrictions do apply, so be sure to pay attention to the fine print. But they'll come out, take care of it. They'll give you pictures before and afterwards, tell you what they did, and, you know, make sure that you're satisfied. That's the idea. Find out more. Sign up today at NSEC, ENSEC.net.
This is the story of the one. As a lineman, he does whatever it takes to keep the power on in his community. And he wants a partner like Grainger who does the same. Grainger offers the professional-grade products he needs, from voltage detectors to harnesses to hard hats, plus fast, dependable delivery, so he can rise to every challenge. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
As she stared at me through the window, I realized the time we spent in the backyard on her trailer just wasn't fulfilling. We used to have so much fun on the water. I just couldn't crank her up. But Key Marine did. Fun days on the bay are back. And my Yamaha outboard runs better than ever.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. Key Marine, your Yamaha outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola. Google Key Marine or find them on Facebook.
Sometimes an identity threat is a ring of professional hackers. And sometimes it's an overworked accountant who forgot to encrypt their connection while sending bank details.
I need a coffee.
And you need LifeLock, because your info is in endless places. It only takes one mistake to expose you to identity theft. LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second. If your identity is stolen, we'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS at LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
Like what you hear?
Give us your feedback by filling out our News Radio Listener Advisory Board survey. Just go to our website, newsradio923.com, and fill it out.
Simple.
News Radio 92.3.
Mr. Gold doesn't give more time or second chances.
Now that we've been playing those the little movie and TV drops for a couple of years, several years now, I do sometimes put ones in there where I'm like, I know almost nobody knows this.
I was just
I know nobody knows. But it's if there's one person who knows it, they're like, oh, he knows that movie?
Andrew.
Because that's from the movie Revolver with Jason Statham, which is rated very poorly. Apparently, I'm the only one that thinks that is one of the best movies ever made, but I really do, because it's fantastic.
An 80s movie?
No. 2000, probably. Well. I'll look it up anyway. All right, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. Trying to find any headlines that aren't Hulk Hogan related, because you did a great job covering that here.
Sorry about that.
The top. The Justice Department continuing its interviews with Jeffrey Epstein associate Ghislaine Maxwell. Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche says that he'll be meeting with Maxwell again today. They had their first round of questioning yesterday in Tallahassee. Her lawyer said that she has been cooperative. Of course, the renewed interest coming as pressure is mounting on the Trump administration to release the Epstein-related files. The creators of South Park apparently don't appear to be too sorry about their controversial season premiere. Trey Parker and Matt Stone spoke at the San Diego Comic-Con Thursday. They were asked about the strong reaction they got to the season opener that aired Wednesday, which featured apparently an AI-generated Donald Trump walking naked in the desert.
I still haven't seen it yet.
Bed with Satan or something at one point, I read. So, yeah, I didn't watch it. But
when asked about it, Parker jokingly replied, "We're terribly sorry." So,
well, of course they are.
It's satire. It's, I mean, that, It is what it is. What are you going to, you're going to be offended at
South Park?
Yeah, exactly.
See, oh, yes. What do you expect from South Park?
I know.
Park?
Oh, there's that tame family show. Oh, my God, they let Jon Stewart swear on cable. Oh, my God, I can't believe it. I'm fainting with, you know, with shock.
And they're generally pretty equal opportunity at who they
are. Oh, yeah, anything goes.
Too,
right.
So, yeah.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 524 here on News Radio 92.3. Interesting notes here. One note is, John, who is your least favorite governor in the entire United States?
Oh, Prickster.
It's not how you say it.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
You can't say it right anymore.
I can't
say
it
wrong
right.
So many times. Pritzker. It's Pritzker.
Sorry.
Anyway.
It's 5 o'clock.
I can't say it right, bro.
In the once great state of Illinois, I'm from there, I can say it.
I'm sorry.
So, State Farm is raising insurance rates on homeowners.
What?
27%.
27%?
27%. That's right. The they figure the average policyholder in Illinois is going to see their home insurance go up by $750 next year in 1 year. I mean, it's, you know, it's crazy. Now, granted, you know, we can't really throw stones here in Florida, but, you know, that's a lot for a year. And he says he's deeply concerned by State Farm. I mean, State Farm's based in Illinois, right? State Farm's in Bloomington, right? So, well, I'm trying to think, Bloomington or Normal? I guess they're in Bloomington. Anyway, Twin Cities. So, you know, he says that he's deeply concerned by State Farm's unfair and arbitrary insurance hike. These changes will cost Illinois homeowners hundreds of additional dollars per year without a state-based justification for corresponding increases in protection. What's their answer? Bro, have you seen the storms? I mean, there have been a lot of storms come through Missouri, Illinois, you know, recently or in the last couple of years. And you know, that's basically what they say is, you know. And now, so it's funny because it makes whoever's running the state look bad. But is it Pritzker's fault that they have storms? I mean, no. But you know how people are, right?
Oh,
my
yeah.
insurance went up. I hate that guy. So, you know, whatever. Let's see. Company said home insurance claims are exceeding premiums, that the total costs $1.26 per dollar of premium. So they're losing 26 cents for every dollar they collect in the state anyway. Those losses are unsustainable, which they are. That's true. They also blamed the increase in the number of damaging storms, saying, let's see, there was another. Oh, cost of materials and labor, you know, have risen. They've had more hail damage claims in Illinois than any other state except for Texas. And, you know, California, top 12. Only five companies are still writing insurance policies in California right now. Only five. So this is a problem everywhere. It's not just a problem for us. This is a problem everywhere you're seeing. Speaking of California, they had a law that requires a background check on ammunition now put on pause.
Wait, to buy ammo?
Yeah.
Okay, so... I did the background check on the gun, but
or you
now,
didn't. Or you didn't.
Oh, well, that is true. But if I needed to buy ammo.
Yeah, you want to go in and, you know, buy a couple of boxes of 9mm.
Yeah.
And well, they're like,
yeah, for practice.
Well, we got to run you a background check. They had a law against that. It's actually been on the books since 2019. It's had many challenges over the years. Federal district court issued a permanent injunction against blocking the background check last year. But the Ninth Circuit later stayed the injunction after the state appealed. In the court's majority opinion, Judge Sandra Ikuda writes that the law violates a citizen's constitutionally protected right to purchase and own operable arms, which also includes the purchase of ammunition. Quote, by subjecting Californians to background checks for all ammunition purchases, California's ammunition background check regime infringes on the fundamental right to keep and bear arms. And so that's been struck down for now. I would say it seems likely that that will go on to the next level, which is the grand finale of the Supreme Court. So we'll see. But, you know, the gun control activists are all up in, I guess you can't say all up in arms.
They're
all up in palm fronds. I don't know. What is an anti-gun person all up in?
Jazz fingers.
Oh, all up in jazz fingers. I like that. They're all up in jazz fingers. All right. Very good. Oh, speaking of that, this is completely unrelated to anything, but it makes me think of it. Was this when we were visiting my son in Greenville? I think it was. But we decided that we're going to change the way we use an expression. You know how the old expression is when everything's going south?
Right.
Well, we like the south. So what we should say is when everything goes
north.
See?
Yes, I got you. I got you. I'm going to start using
that's
that
the
more.
New, that's the new. When things are about to go bad or you're worried they're going to go bad, you say, man, if everything goes north, then we have to do blah, you know?
Blame the Canadians.
That's right. other kind of interesting story. The Trump administration has now abandoned a Obama-era plan to limit the speed of trucks on the roads, you know, to put like speed regulators basically in on semis, anything more than 26,000 pounds, somewhere between 60 and 65 miles an hour. Because why? Well, bigger, faster, more dangerous. It'll save lives, between 60 and 200 lives a year, and netting drivers more than $800 million in savings in the costs associated with crashes related to them. But the argument from the other side is it's a safety hazard because if drivers of trucks are only able to go, let's say, 65, well, they're going to be the slow car on the road impeding traffic, and that makes for an unsafe situation as well. People passing them at speed, all of that kind of stuff, you know. So that's kind of the old idea that if you're in traffic and it's going fast, well, even if it's breaking the law, it's better to be safe and kind of keep up a little bit. You know, it's okay to be slow, but don't be too slow. So that plan has gone away. They're no longer going to do it. There's all kinds of other arguments about, you know, whether the technology, you know, would work effectively, new safety equipment, all that kind of stuff. I think that whatever speed trucks are or are not allowed to go, if you're going to install technology on the trucks to make the world better, the technology needs to be something that will absolutely make it impossible for truck A and truck B to drive side by side on the highway.
Amen. Just went through all that.
I
yes,
don't
sir.
Care what you do, make that impossible. Exactly. Automatic braking, automatic acceleration, I don't know, something, but truck A and B need to be not next to each other, failing to pass.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. He was the first chief of staff for then President Biden. Ron Klain answered questions from a Republican House panel looking into the mental fitness of the former president.
In a closed-door deposition, a source tells Fox, Klain said he acknowledged former President Biden was less energetic and more forgetful, but still believed he had the acuity to govern. Klain said Biden often confused names and proper nouns, and it got worse over time, yet he believed the former president still had the mental sharpness to serve as president.
Fox's Madeline Rivera. The State Department issuing a travel advisory today for Thailand and Cambodia. The acting prime minister of Thailand through an interpreter.
As I have said, the situation has intensified and could escalate into a state of war.
More than 100,000 people have been displaced due to border clashes. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. 80 degrees right now. We've got mostly cloudy skies. We'll get more with our weather forecast and Brooke Richardson here in just a few minutes. UWF adding a new position to Interim President Manny Diaz's administration, the Vice President of Strategic Initiatives and Chief of Staff. That position will work closely with the Interim President.
When I learned that he was coming to UWF, I asked if you wanted some help, and I knew that this would be an opportunity for me to be able to use my gifts, my experience, in a place that I love and have a strong connection to.
Dr. Clifford Humphrey there. He was selected to fill the position. He's worked in education for over a decade, both overseas and at a private school in Pensacola. The position was approved yesterday by the UWF Board of Trustees with a salary of around $180,000 and close to $100,000 in other incentives. Well, traveling has gotten a bit easier this summer.
TSA is creating dedicated security lines for families traveling at select U.S. airports. The initiative is part of the Families on the Fly campaign to alleviate difficulties for families traveling together. DHS Secretary Kristi Noem also hinted there may be an easing of rules surrounding the size of liquids that travelers can bring on that carry-on luggage. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Chris. Well, Pensacola city officials are looking into a new plan for the Pensacola Motor Lodge. The developer that was leasing that property wanted to turn it into affordable housing, but wasn't able to complete the project.
We did terminate that lease, as I told you guys we would, with Smith & Hensey. We had given them that lease that was contingent upon them getting tax credit projects. They applied for a couple, didn't get them.
Mayor D.C. Reeves there. He says the city is 100% committed to bringing affordable housing to that site. The new plan for the city is to sell the property outright, but with a provision that it's used for affordable housing or it would revert back to the city. Any sale would still have to be approved by the city council. Florida Republicans may want another DeSantis in the governor mansions. The University of North Florida releasing a poll yesterday on the GOP primary for 2026. It shows First Lady Casey DeSantis leading with 32% support, even though she hasn't announced whether she plans to run. Congressman Byron Donalds is second by 3 percentage points. UNF political science professor Dr. Michael Binder says DeSantis' lead is smaller than it was in the last poll 2 years ago. He thinks President Trump's endorsement of Donalds helped to make that race a bit closer. Well, Boca Raton's mayor trying to defend his efforts to lure in New Yorkers. The city spending $70,000 on a Times Square billboard to attract businesses that may be looking to move. A billboard ad will run through the end of September. Some Boca Raton residents have complained, though. They say their city's already crowded enough and they don't need more people adding to their traffic problems. It is 5:35, and right now we've got 80 degrees here in Pensacola, 81 in Gulf Breeze, 76 in Milton. Our next news at 6 o'clock, and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, and dependable. Let's get a look at our market report from Your Money Now.
Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Electric bills in Pennsylvania could climb as much as 5% as rising rates paid to power plants trickle down the system. That's according to PJM Interconnection, a regional body that ensures utilities have enough power to supply their customers during peak demand times, like a heat wave or cold snap. Elon Musk's satellite internet service Starlink said it had a network outage and is working on a solution. The Starlink-powered satellite service from T-Mobile called T-Satellite rolled out to the public on Wednesday. Starlink is owned and operated by SpaceX, which is also run by Musk. Intel has reported second quarter results that beat Wall Street expectations on revenue as new CEO Lip-Bu Tan announced significant cuts in chip factory construction. In a memo to employees, Tan said that the first few months of his tenure has not been easy. Intel shares are up 13% so far this year as of Thursday's close, after plummeting by 60% in 2024, their worst year on record. Futures are currently mixed. That's Your Money Now.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Hey, Escambia. Today, ECUA is talking trash.
Specifically, bulk waste.
July 1st, 2023, bulk service changed to call for pickup. Schedule a pickup by calling the ECUA customer service department anytime before 2 p.m. on the day prior to your normal pickup day. Bulk pickup is still included at no additional charge. Schedule a free bulk waste or special pickup of construction debris for an additional fee. Call customer service at 850-476-0480. More information at ecua.fl.gov.
Know what to throw, 850.
Visit Pensacola is home for all things Pensacola. I'm Darren Schaefer, CEO of Visit Pensacola. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel this week as we discuss what is next for our community. This summer, get tips on beach time and ways to help make sure your guests don't miss a thing. Today at 9:30, let us show you the way to beach on News Radio 92.3.
Hey, Pensacola. Get ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked. Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are the dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show on News Radio Pensacola. 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Good morning, 539 News Radio 92.3. Weird this morning on my 4-minute drive to work, I drove through two different rainstorms. Like, it was dry, then it was rain, then it was dry, then it was rain, then it was dry again. And I'm like, it's the weather hokey pokey this morning. So just, you know, kind of be aware that there are literally scattered showers across the area this morning. Yesterday, I had a chance to talk to Mike Wood, the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Hey, Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Couple of kind of incidents to get to, and then I have some kind of in the news stuff that I want to get your perspective on. We had a, I think it was about a week and a half ago, but of course last week we didn't really get to a lot of the eventsy type stuff with Chief Brown. But we had a pedestrian who died on Three Mile Bridge. I feel like I may have even driven past when this was happening, but what happened here?
So it was a pedestrian that was not on the bridge, it turns out. It was an individual that was found in a grassy area near Wayside Park. We believe that this may have been a health issue that caused the man to collapse and pass away. So there's no foul play involved. And the initial reports were that the individual was on the pedestrian path of the bridge, which turned out to be inaccurate.
Okay, so it was just at the Wayside Park on the, you know, Pensacola side. That's all, but it wasn't in the bridge itself. Okay. All right. And, you know, unfortunately, yes. People pass away. I mean, that does happen a lot, unfortunately. You had an incident that took place where a felon was fleeing and then wound up in the car fleeing and hitting one of your vehicles. Is that right?
Yeah, this was some officers observed this individual, and they knew who he was. They knew he was a violent felon near the New Baptist Hospital. The individual drove down a dead-end road where officers attempted to box him in. The suspect vehicle was able to reverse direction, strike one of our cruisers, and get away. The pursuit went for a short amount of time after that, but they called it off because of excessive speeds in a residential area. That's something that we're just not going to do most of the time. And then a short time later, the vehicle was found after canine tracks and after the use of our drone. We also had the assistance of the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, which we always appreciate. But the individual was not found, but we do know who he is, and a warrant would be issued for that individual's arrest.
Okay, and a lot of times, you know, the calling off of the pursuit is never you know, you don't love to have to do that, but obviously you make the cost-benefit analysis and figuring, well, okay, we don't have to catch him today. We can catch him tomorrow or in a week or, you know, whatever the case may be, right?
Yeah, there are some times that most of the time we're going to call it off when it gets dangerous. There are very few times that we're just going to go because how dangerous this person is. If they had just shot several people or a law enforcement officer or something like that, we've got to stop them, then that pursuit may continue. But this is something that we do, a decision that we make on a case-by-case basis, and it's made in a couple of seconds.
And usually a lieutenant on duty makes that call typically, is that right?
Well, it can be any supervisor on duty. It can also be the officer. Nobody knows the situation, the weather and the traffic and the speed like the officer that's in the pursuit. And that officer also has the ability to call that off.
Gotcha. Okay. We had an incident, I think, overnight or this morning involving a house fire.
Yeah, that was this morning near 6th and Bobie. We received a call of a house fire. Officers got there and discovered there were several people inside the home, and they were able to remove those people without injury. The fire department also showed up very quickly and extinguished that fire. And then it looks like this may have been intentionally set. So investigators and crime scene officials are on the scene as we speak, trying to figure that out.
Wow. How did your officers get there so fast, even to beat the fire department?
Well, officers are already out there, and it happens often that we get there first on fire calls and on medical calls. But this particular house was not too far from Station 1, and the fire department got there quickly as well.
What? And I mean, this is kind of amazing. So your officers went into a burning building to rescue these people. Is that what I understood you to say?
I don't have the particulars on exactly what happened. I just know that the officers were there and were able to remove them without serious injuries. Whether they physically took them out or they were able to run out on their own is something I need to get back with you on.
Oh, okay. And I mean, because it's scary stuff, but like, I don't even know how much training PPD gets on that scenario. Obviously, firemen get all kinds of training on that, but training and or not really. I mean, I'm assuming you don't carry any kind of equipment with you for that. You're not carrying masks and rebreathers or anything like that, right?
No, and I can tell you from somebody that has been trapped in a house fire, I did the wrong thing. I'm 6'4", and standing up in a burning home is the one of the dumbest things you can do. There's a lot of truth to there being oxygen on the floor, mm-hmm. the first 2 or 3 feet. If you get down and crawl, you're avoiding the heat, the gases, and the smoke. So that's the thing to do is get on that floor and crawl. But it's a dangerous situation that officers aren't in every day. We do not have the equipment to do that, but we're not going to stand by under any circumstances when someone is inside a home.
Yeah, I mean, that's excellent. And you're exactly right. It's the stuff we learned as kids, you know, stop, drop, and roll, and get low in the house, and, you know, all the advice that we get about that, you know, it doesn't necessarily come back to you in your emergency moment, right? Just like anything else, we talk about gun training. You know, do you train enough so that when there's an emergency, you react that way? Well, that's a hard thing because the natural thing is to stand up and go. A couple of things in the news that I wanted to ask you about. The first one, Mike, is there's a story out there. I think it's Uber is now allowing you to select, if you're a female, to select a female driver. And I fully understand this, that women are more comfortable being driven around by women who they perceive as less of a threat. But I was also wondering, because women can be monsters too, you know, and women do perpetrate crimes. I was just kind of curious if there's, you know, real data behind the idea of who's more of a threat to the female rider, if it is in fact the men, or if that's just kind of a belief we all have, or, you know, just kind of thoughts about this proposal to allow women to feel safer by having female drivers.
Well, I don't know about the data, but what I can tell you is that, you know, we've been telling people for years about stranger danger, never, ever get into a vehicle with a stranger. And now, look, we've got ride sharing where that's exactly what you're doing. And data or not, if a female rider feels more comfortable with a female driver, then they should be able to pick a female driver. And that's simply all there is to it. There are less encounters, violent encounters, female on female than there are male on female. So if they feel more comfortable being able to pick a driver that's female, then I believe that's what they should do.
You know, it kind of reminds me of the old advice. It's like my martial arts instructor way, way, way back in the day, is that the best advice in a situation to keep you safe is if you've got a gut instinct that says to leave, leave. And he always said it about, like, you get into an elevator. If you're a woman, you get into an elevator and you feel uncomfortable, get out. And same thing, you know, with a ride share. Just because you ordered it doesn't mean you can't get out and quit, right?
Yeah, well, the driver pulls up and you don't like what you see, then just say, no thanks, I'll get another one. You don't really have to give them an excuse, just don't get in the car.
Yeah, that's great advice. I also wanted to ask you, it's been a lot in the news in the last couple of days, this incident in Jacksonville where, as I understand it, the police pulled this guy over, told him to get out. He had opened the door and was kind of on the verge of getting out, and then for whatever reason changed his mind, closed the door, and was filming this whole thing. And the part of the video that's gotten all the attention, of course, is the police breaking the window, punching him, him taking it, you know, very stoically, and then getting dragged out. But I, you know, from a law enforcement perspective, I'm always curious what a cop sees, because you see it differently than I do. But what do you see in this incident?
Well, first of all, when a person is under arrest, and this individual was told that he was under arrest, we have to effect that arrest. We have to follow through. We can't just say, okay, he's locked himself in, we'll go talk to him and arrest him another day. That's not something that we can do. We have to follow through with that arrest. So when he refuses to get out of the car, the officers have every right to break the window to effect that arrest. Now, that's one part. The other part is that's a little disturbing to me, and I'm most all law enforcement officers would agree with this, is the punch in the face while the individual was sitting in the car, not offering any active resistance. This sitting in the car, locking yourself in, is called passive resistance. So the punch in the face is disturbing, and I believe that it is to the agency that's involved, and I think that they are looking into that portion of the incident.
Okay, so this is as as is often the case, you've got levels of resistance and levels of force to gain compliance, and you can only ratchet up your level of force to gain compliance based on what the suspect is doing. And in this case, as you say, sitting there in the car doesn't justify a punch in the face. It justifies breaking the window, opening the door, wrestling him out, but not the act of violence like you were talking about, which makes perfect sense to me. And also, again, like so many of these videos, make sure you watch all the video from the beginning, not just the part that you're getting seen on TV, right?
That's exactly right. And there's claims that there was a knife on the floorboard, but it didn't look like the individual was reaching for anything. So you've got to look at the totality and both sides of everything. Perspective to someone is can be fact to them. What they see, what they perceive, is fact to them at the moment. So that's why these incidents are always investigated very thoroughly.
Yeah, and even I think you always have to give some deference, and frankly on both sides, but you have to give some deference to situations move fast, and you know, play by play, frame by frame analysis is a luxury that the people in the situation don't have. And so and that goes on both sides, but you know, it can look different on the instant replay than it does to the refs in real time, and the refs in real time are the ones who have to make the decision. And so, you know, keep that in mind. We always like to end with a bit, and if I'm wrong, please tell me I'm wrong. But same.
Well, yeah. Let me say one thing. That 100% of the time, if no resistance is offered, 100% of the time, the officer will not have to respond to resistance or fighting. So if you don't resist arrest, which you do not have the right to do, the fight is supposed to be for the courtroom. But if you comply with officers' instructions on the street, nobody will ever get hurt. And that's the thing that needs to be remembered.
You always like to end with a cop myth or a did you know. You have one for me this week?
Yeah. So has a sitting president ever been arrested, and not by the federal officers or the marshals or the state police, but has a sitting president ever been arrested by a city police officer on patrol, just an officer on patrol?
What?
And the answer to that is yes.
What?
The answer to that is yes. Yeah. Would it happen in this day and time? I don't know, but it would. There'd be a lot more to it because presidents are heavily guarded. But
this has got to be like an 1800s story or something. When did this happen?
Yeah, there you go. 1872 in Washington D.C. President Grant was arrested, and get this, for speeding in a horse-drawn carriage. I don't think radar was available back then. I'm curious to know how you know he was speeding, unless just the horse was in a full gallop. But yeah, he was arrested for speeding and had to pay a $20 fine and eventually released.
They arrested the general for speeding when he was the president?
Yeah. Yes, they did.
That's amazing.
So this is a normal city beat officer on patrol doing his job, and he took his job very seriously, obviously.
Wow, that guy either got promoted or fired. Do you know which?
No. I'd stay away from that. But those are the facts that I have on hand.
I want to know outcomes now. Oh, that's fascinating. Okay, all right. Well, but to be clear, nobody from PPD has ever arrested a sitting president, even for speeding in a horse-drawn carriage.
Absolutely not.
Very good. Mike Wood, he's the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, as always, thank you for the time, keeping us informed and teaching us all a fact that none of us knew, I think. We'll talk to you again next week.
That's what we do.
You're the best, brother. I love that. That's what we do. And by the way, the follow-up on that is I went and read yesterday at the National Park Service has a whole webpage devoted to this story. It was recounted by the officer, like many years later, who was himself a black guy, a former slave, who became a member of the D.C. Metro Police. And there had been a crackdown because there had been, women and children were very unsafe on that particular street because people were racing their horse carriages. And he had actually caught the president doing it one day, warned him, and the president said, "I'm so sorry, I'll do better." The very next day, he was out racing with, like, six of his friends. Yeah, the President Grant was street racing. And he got ticketed, $20, I guess it was a bail bond, it wasn't a fine. But anyway, they showed up to court and got sternly scolded by the judge. He didn't show up to court, so he forfeited the $20. And this guy was telling this story years later to an interviewer. There's some question about whether it's accurate or not because of the lack of, at the time, evidence in newspapers or anything. But it's such a good story, we're just going to leave it. I mean, it's fine. It's probably true, but, you know, just because you can't verify it doesn't mean it didn't happen, right? And it's such a great story. I just can't believe the beat cop is pulling over the president.
I know, and that gives the true meaning of horsepower.
Oh.
You feel good about that choice?
I did.
All right.
I like it.
Fair enough. 553 on News Radio 92.3. Speaking of, if you're buying that next vehicle.
Look at there. I helped you.
Look at what you did there, yeah. Frontier Motors has a great selection of good quality vehicles. You know, they're used. Okay, they're not brand new, but they're not that used, right? Like, they're just barely past new. Like, they've been one owner, maybe two at most. You're talking about 10 to 40,000 miles. You're talking about a year to four, maybe 3 years old, something like that. Good quality cars that are going to keep their value, last you a long time. They just aren't brand spanking new. And they are going to warranty them to 100,000 miles or 10 years because they're only going to sell you good quality cars. They know you don't like to buy a car. They know you've probably had bad experiences. I know I have. My experience of buying cars have been, you know, a range of unpleasant to really unpleasant to really, really unpleasant. Except at Frontier, where it was like, oh, this is actually kind of fun. I kind of like this. You guys are nice. And then they give you little things, and I won't tell you. I won't spoil it. If you buy, trust me, if you buy a car, you get a cool thing. But I'll leave it at that, you know, okay? Because I don't want to spoil the fun of getting it. Anyway, Frontier Motors is just a great source of good quality cars, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway, be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Good morning, guys. I just want to warn you, traffic is tough out there.
We are here for you to tell you how to keep safe.
Everybody who is listening needs to take cover as soon as they can.
To provide the music, talk, and sports you love. And to deliver the news that matters to you. We are the voices you can trust. We are live and local. We are America's broadcasters. Text radio to 52886 and tell Congress you depend on your local radio stations.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. It's hot in the summer, but you can bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, Mass Confusion takes the stage with classic rock, Motown, smooth jazz, funk, country, and oldies all in their own style. Come out and take a spin on the dance floor at Bands on the Beach, brought to you by the Santa Rosa Island Authority. This week, don't miss the Gulfside Market.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us today at 9 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sonny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sonny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Like what you hear?
Give us your feedback by filling out our News Radio Listener Advisory Board survey. Just go to our website, newsradio923.com, and fill it out.
Simple.
News Radio 92.3.
I like pizza. I like it.
We're going to need a cage.
That spring break music right there back in the day, for me anyway, that was one of the tapes I took on spring break when we went to Daytona when I was in school.
That's I love how you said tape.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. It was that was definitely a tape in my friend's Cutlass.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, man, I remember that. Mm-hmm. Change the tape. Put in some CNC Music Factory.
It's going to make you sweat.
Oh, man, let's just move on. I don't want to have these memories every day. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
I'm sorry, what's a tape?
You're not funny, Mr. Millennial. Are you a millennial or are you Gen X?
No, I'm an early, like, first-year millennial. Early model.
You don't get to apologize for your identity. Or do you identify as a Gen Xer? You know, are you transgenerational?
I'm more of a Gen Xer, I think. A lot closer.
That's good. Yeah. I like that, Andrew.
Yeah, don't accept the generation you were assigned at birth.
I mean, exactly.
Go ahead, sir.
Why should I have to, right? President Trump is heading to Scotland today for a 4-day private trip. He has plans to visit his golf resorts there, and also he'll be meeting with Scotland's First Minister. He'll also be sitting down with British Prime Minister Keir Starmer. It'll be his first visit to the UK since winning re-election, but an official state visit is being planned for later this fall.
It's not my fault nobody can understand you, you fuzzy foreigner.
No,
come on! You're looking at me. You don't know the quote.
I don't know the quote.
It's from Caddyshack when Carl was rocking Scottish groundskeeper who...
Right. I'm sorry, I haven't seen that movie.
It was a Scotland reference. Come
Millennial.
On. Oh, yeah, that's right. He doesn't really know anything. All right, go on.
Last time I saw it, it was probably on
don't
tape and
you
had bad
dare.
Picture. You know,
don't you... I'm just so angry
now. How about some George Santos news?
Yeah, oh, fantastic.
George Santos is headed to federal prison today to begin his 80-month sentence for wire fraud and identity theft. And, of course, he was expelled from Congress last year after the investigations, and he had a message on social media. He says he's, quote, leaving the stage for now, but legends never truly exit.
It's perfect. It's 100% on brand. 100% on brand for him. That's fantastic. Oh, my goodness. All right, well, the Transgressive Memorial Service comes up next. Find out why Mercedes is in
local news.